What an anointing that's on that song, man. There is favor and blessing from the throne room of God upon that song. We're going to go ahead and get into the message this morning. Again, we want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody that's watching, those who are in the house. We love and appreciate you so much. The favor and blessing of the Lord be upon you. We're going to continue this teaching today. And there's been so much that we've been talking about. It's been exciting digging into the Word, talking about God's design for our life to live and walk in His victory that He has allotted for us to live in, and looking and extracting principles out of the Word of God that can help to prop us up and lead us in the right direction to live as more than a conqueror in this life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to just take you a little bit further with where I left off last week, because, you know, you only have so much time in a message, and if you overdo it with preaching too long, you end up messing the whole thing up and people don't remember anything. But over the past couple of weeks, specifically, as we've been looking about walking in victory, we've been talking about one of the greatest weapons of our enemy that he hurls against us, and it is condemnation. And in the last two messages, we talked about condemnation that comes to us from different or specific standpoints, or from different avenues or different ways. Condemnation is condemnation, but we could talk about it. There are different facets of condemnation, and it is good to explore them so that we could understand what it means and what it's all about, and how to wage war against it, and how to not be an accomplice to the spirit of condemnation. But over the past couple of weeks, we talked about, number one, we talked about the condemnation that all sons and daughters or believers in Christ have been delivered from. There is a condemnation. If you are in Christ and you're saved, there is a condemnation that you are delivered from, and it's absolutely made clear in Scripture. You've been delivered from a death sentence. When I say a death sentence, I'm talking about eternal death. I'm talking about if you're in Christ and you die in that state of being in Christ as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you die, you miss the second death, which is eternal death, eternal damnation, hell. You miss that, and you'll spend all of eternity in heaven with Christ, ruling and reigning with Him. So that is good news for all believers. Then we talked about the condemnation or the guilt that we might feel as a believer when we willfully sin against God. So to think that you shouldn't feel guilty or you shouldn't feel condemned when you willfully violate God's law and you sin against Him, His character, and His nature, to think you shouldn't feel guilt is wrong. There is something God places inside of you. It's an alarm. It is a siren that goes off inside of you that tells you you went in the wrong direction, that tells you you are on dangerous territory, that tells you you're opening up the door for the enemy to attack you, that tells you you have violated the moral standards of God, His nature and His character. That's good news. But it's supposed to lead you back to God, lead you to a place of repentance. So we talked all about that. We also talked last week about the condemnation that comes from a sin consciousness. The condemnation that comes from a sin consciousness. We realized that you could even be living upright before the Lord and not willfully violating anything or not know of any sin that you're involved in, and still being taunted and hounded and tormented with, you're not measuring up, you're doing something wrong, you're not pleasing God. So you got to listen to the message last week. So we talked about a condemnation that comes to us through a sin consciousness and how to grow out of that and get free from that. What I didn't talk about is what I want to talk about just for a few moments today. I don't want to keep you long, but I do want to just kind of bring it out, expound a little bit on it. And then we want to just dismiss you and let you go and take your moms out for lunch, okay? And this is the condemnation. It's another facet, we could say, of condemnation. It's the condemnation that comes from the accuser of the brethren. So we talked about the condemnation that we've all been delivered from for those who are in Christ. Condemnation or guilt we might feel when we willfully sin against God. The condemnation that comes to us through a sin consciousness. And we have to finish this off. There is a condemnation that comes from the accuser of the brethren. So we're going to go ahead and title the message today, The Ministry of Condemnation. You don't want to be part of that ministry. However, we'll talk a little bit about how oftentimes we participate in that ministry. So we call this the ministry of condemnation, and it is Satan's ministry. So let's go ahead and talk first about the nature of Satan. Without spending too much time on this, the word devil in Scripture is the Greek word diabolos. And the word diabolos means adversary, but it also means slanderer and accuser. So in the name devil, or the word of the name devil, Satan is called devil. His name bears his nature. He is the adversary, the slanderer, and the accuser. But the word diabolos comes from the root word diabolos. Diabolos comes from the Greek root word diabolos. And here's what diabolos means: to unjustly accuse or to criticize and condemn, to bring down. To unjustly accuse and criticize and condemn, to bring down. So once again, you take the word diabolos and take it from where it came from as a root word, and you find the nature of the devil. His nature is to accuse and slander, criticize and condemn in order to bring you down. And so the devil's ultimate attack on our lives, based upon his nature, again, is to bring that false accusation, condemnation, to wear us out, to buffet us, in order to bring us down. His ministry is the ministry of condemnation. And he works overtime in his ministry to condemn, especially condemn, God's people, sons and daughters of God. He understands that sons and daughters of God are in Christ. He understands they've already been delivered from that condemnation, that eternal damnation. They've already been delivered from hell. So the devil understands that. And if he can't get you to end up in hell, then you better believe he's going to do everything in his power to bring hell to you while you're living in this earth. If he can't get you into hell, if you stay in Christ, you miss that eternal damnation. You're delivered from it. But if he can't get you into hell, he's going to bring hell to you every single day. Any way that he can, every opportunity he has, he's going to bring all hell to you to bring you down, my God, and condemn you. And so I want to look first at Revelation chapter 12. Just going to read a couple verses. And the first verse is in verse 9. I know I flipped it by mistake on the overhead. But verse 9, do you have it? Okay. Oh, good. You got verse 9. Okay, so let's look at that first. Thanks for doing that. Here, verse 9 of Revelation 12. So the dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, or that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And then when you get to verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, John hears this voice as he's caught up in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So it says the old serpent, the devil, has been cast out. And here in verse 10 it says the accuser, same person, same personality, same figure. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. Then verse 11 says, they overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they even died for the cause of Christ. And so it's clear in this text, here's what I want to point out of these verses, that there was a great conflict which spans both heaven and earth. And in this conflict, the accuser had access. You could see it here. The accuser of the brethren had access to God. And he took advantage of this access. And he would bring accusations to God about God's people. And he would do it, not just once in a while, but he would do it, it says here, day and night. And that's the way the spirit of condemnation works. It works day and night. Why? To beat you down, to wear you out, to make you sick, to make you oppressed, to put you under. I mean, there's so many negative things that happen. But here it shows us that the accuser had access to God, and day and night he was bringing to God his accusations against God's people to accuse and condemn until he was cast out of heaven, as it says here, cast out, cast down. So when did that happen? When did he have access and when was he cast out and cast down? Well, there's some different ways of trying to interpret this verse of scripture, but I believe that there's a consensus among theologians that Satan, we know, was judged at the cross when Jesus shed his blood, and sin was judged, and the powers of darkness was judged. Remember that scripture in Colossians? He spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In his sacrificial death, the shedding of his blood and his resurrection. So when it says that Satan was cast out in Revelation chapter 12, I believe that this was when he was judged at the cross. He was judged. He was cast out, we could say, of the courts of heaven. When Jesus ascended into heaven and took his own blood. Come on now. He took his own blood into the courts of heaven, into the Holy of Holies, the Bible says in Hebrews. And he presented his blood to the Father. He sprinkled it on the heavenly mercy seat in the throne room of God to acquit us of our sin and justify us in the sight of God. And so he takes his seat as well at the right hand of the Father. And it is here that the accuser is displaced. The accuser is cast out. The accuser is cast down. What that means is that he no longer has access. Access denied. The blood is taken before the Father, and now access to the accuser in the throne room of God is denied. It's shut down. The accuser no longer has God's ear because God's eyes are upon the blood of his Son. Now that's a good way of explaining it, and it's theologically sound, just how I pictured it or created an image for you. And so, he's cast out of heaven. He no longer has access to the ear of God or the presence of God to bring accusation against God's people. But here's the thing we all have to understand. Even though he's cast out, even so that access is denied in the throne room of God, he's still the accuser. Same nature, same accusation. His nature hasn't changed. His methods have not changed, no, not one bit. He is still diablos, slanderer, false accuser, bringing condemnation. Still, he might not be hurling these accusations before God. He may not have God's ear. But the problem is, he's got your ear. And so he brings accusation directly to you. And he has the ear of others that he uses as his instruments of condemnation as well. So his ministry is alive and well and vibrant in the planet. And he's working overtime to bring condemnation, especially against God's people, especially against God's people, because we are his arch enemy. He hates us the most. And so condemnation is so effective, his weapon of condemnation, because you see, condemnation is the most debilitating and paralyzing spirit in the rank of the kingdom of darkness. It paralyzes God's people, paralyzes your faith, paralyzes your vision for the future, paralyzes your advancement of moving forward. You see, condemnation will keep you living under the sentence of guilt. And no one can live continually under the sentence of guilt and still thrive in life. It's impossible. No one can live under the burden and heavy weight and oppression of condemnation and still thrive in life. It's impossible, and the enemy knows this. Because guilt and condemnation breeds fear. It breeds despair and dread and hopelessness. And it brings absolute defeat. And so condemnation, why am I even talking about this? Well, there's a couple reasons. And here's one of them, because condemnation is on an all-time high right now. It's been ramped up, not only in the church, but folks, it's in our culture. It's in our American culture. There is an immense amount of the ministry of condemnation being wrought throughout our culture. A strong, heavy spirit of condemnation has been released in our culture. If you even resemble being a Christian, if you even speak of your morals and values, if you even speak out against anything that is sin in the eyes of God in our culture, if you even have absolute values and morals, you will be swiftly denounced and condemned. Now more than ever in history, in the American culture, you will be attacked. You will be slandered and shamed and discredited. To keep your mouth shut, to shut you down, to cast you down, to wear you out. And so there's a new religion in our culture that has been birthed in our American culture. It's the religion of wokeness. It's the religion of wokeism, we might say. You might be hearing the word woke over the past year or 2 years or so. Because it's important that we as believers are aware. We live in the culture. We're not immune to what's happening in the culture. In fact, we should be influencing the culture and changing the culture as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So we've got to know what's happening in our culture. There is a strong spirit of condemnation released in our culture through this new religion called wokeness. Now, the word woke that's being used over the past couple of years or several years more than ever refers to being awakened opposed to being asleep. So when you're woke, supposedly your eyes have opened. Your eyes have opened. You're no longer sleeping. It's being awakened of the truth behind the things the man doesn't want you to know. So I got this right out of the dictionary, the Urban Dictionary. So woke in our day and age means you have come to the place where you have been awakened, and it has to do with the real truths that people are hiding, the truths they're covering up, that man, the way they put it, that man doesn't want you to know. They emphasize the man, the male. And so, more specifically, it's being aware of the real issues, quote unquote, that concern social justice and racial justice. So I call it a religion. The reason why, and other people call it a religion as well, is because it has its own values. It has its own standards. It takes ownership in their own doctrine. They have their own doctrine. They have their own belief system. And anyone who remotely disagrees with their doctrine is basically labeled a heretic. Isn't that the way it works? When there's a strong spirit of religion in history, if you were to violate any part of that religion, you would be considered a heretic. Many people were burned at the stake because they tried to move with God and break away from the established religion. And so if wokeness is a religion, which it really is, it's a real belief system. There are values and morals in wokeness. There is a doctrine. There are statements of belief. Folks, listen to me. This is not an exaggeration. It is a religion. And like any other staunch religion, anyone who remotely disagrees with their doctrine and statements of faith will be labeled a heretic and will be in jeopardy of being burned at the stake, per se, or stoned to death. And if not stoned, you surely will be shamed and you will be cut off from society. And so wokeism is not made up of one race. All the races are part of this new religion. I mean, Asian, African American, white, black, red. I mean, it doesn't matter where you come from. Wokeism is universal. It encompasses all who are willing to open up their eyes and join the new religion. From every spectrum of life. Now, I'm just going to cut to the chase because I don't have a lot of time and I got another portion I want to talk about. But I want to say it like this. The woke mob has become the Pharisee in our American culture. And they are Satan's ministers of condemnation. And they condemn anyone who violates their code of ethics or their system of beliefs or their doctrine. They condemn anybody who challenges it or disagrees with it or does not adhere to it. So we're talking about, what are we talking about? We are talking about persecution. Maybe not the way you might think it, but that is persecution. And so persecution, listen, I'm speaking the truth here this morning. Persecution is on the rise. And the attack is not just coming against the bigoted and narrow-minded Christian, but it's against anybody who disagrees and doesn't bow to the belief system of wokeism and give them what they are demanding. When you refuse to bow and you refuse to give them what they are demanding, you are condemned. There's no discussion. There's no discussion. You don't have a seat at the public table to voice your disagreement. If you disagree with any of their tenets of faith, that's it. You're labeled. You're condemned. You're ostracized. If you disagree that every white person is intrinsically racist and part of the oppression, oh, you swiftly condemned. If you are white and you don't come to the light, and you don't come to the new religion of wokeism, and you don't come out of the closet and confess your white privilege, you're condemned. You are condemned. There's no negotiating. There's no trying to prove that you're not a racist. You're done. You're not allowed to disagree with or to defend yourself. And people feel threatened and afraid to even challenge that idea, to even say, no, wait a minute, I may be a lot of things, but one thing I'm not, I am not a racist. No, people are afraid to even say or defend themselves that they are not a racist. And if you come out and say, I'm not a racist, it's proof that you're a racist. It's proof that you are defending your racism and you haven't been awakened yet and you are still living in darkness. Don't get mad at me today. I'm going to help you out. You need to be aware of what your kids are even being taught in school, because it's coming to a school near you, elementary schools. There are elementary schools right now. This is a fact. Elementary schools right now that are teaching critical race theory to their little innocent students. And teaching them that America is intrinsically a racist nation. And that if you are a little white child sitting in the class that day, they're teaching that because you're a little white child, you were born with evil in you. Now, we're all born with evil in us. We're all born with sin. We all have the Adamic nature when we're born. No. They're not saying that. They're saying you, because you're a white little child, you specifically have a seed in you. And it is a seed of evil. And they tell the little white children that you're a racist and you have white privilege and you are a big part of the problem, even though you don't know it yet, even though your mind's not computing it yet. You're part of the problem because of the color of your skin. Really? Oh yeah. Really? Those statements like that sound racist to me. That's racism right there. Isn't racism judging someone based on the pigment of their skin, the color of their skin? Isn't that racism? Well, they're actually teaching. This was just a couple of weeks ago. Teaching the children that there's evil inside of you because you're white and the color of your skin. You don't even know it yet, but you are part of the problem and you come from white privilege and there's racism inside of you. And unless you come to the light, unless you grow up and be converted, you will always stay a racist. And so another area of condemnation is when you disagree that all systems of law enforcement in our nation are corrupt and systemically racist. If you have an argument to say that that is not an absolute, that is not true, if you disagree with this, you are swiftly condemned. Is there racism in law enforcement? Oh my God, absolutely yes. Nobody's denying racism. We're not denying racism in the culture. We're not denying racism in wherever you look in life. There's racism everywhere because everywhere you go, there are broken human beings. And so you will have racism everywhere. There is racism in every area of life. And it exists in every way. And by the way, racism exists in every single race. To say just one race is racist, it's ludicrous. It's a lie. It's not true. But to make a sweeping judgment and say, because you're a cop or because you're part of a system of law enforcement, that you are racist and you're an abuser of power, it's ludicrous. It's a lie. So, in short, the greatest attack from the woke mob in our culture today and the heaviest and most severe condemnation will come against... Are you ready for this? It comes against, the heaviest condemnation is directed toward, the denunciation comes against the people in our culture, the worst part of the condemnation. If you are white, if you are a male, because the male's the patriarch, the abuser of authority, because the white is the racist. If you are white, if you are a male, if you are straight, and if you are a Christian, you are marked. You are marked in the culture. You are marked in the culture. And you are the problem, and you are the enemy to an evil society, and you are condemned. If you disagree with a pharisaical woke mob, get ready. People have lost their jobs. They've been ostracized from communities. They've lost freedoms and liberties. They've been canceled out. Talk about cancel culture. They've been canceled from the culture. How many of you think maybe it's a good time that somebody pushes back against this? How many of you think that we Christians who are supposed to be avid adherers and triumph in the truth and be declarers of the truth of God's word and proclaim what God says, how many of you think that we ought to be a proponent? How many of you think that you as a Christian ought not to be afraid to stand up and disagree with this religion and say that this is a cult? This is not God. This is not a real religion. This is a cult. This is a fraud. This is a ministry to bring condemnation to anybody who disagrees with the mob. I mean, this is the ministry of Satan, the pharisaical spirit in the culture, the finger pointing spirit and condescending spirit and judgmental spirit in our culture today. It's not just in the church, it's in the culture. Switch gears just for, give me 5 minutes, because I said I didn't want to keep you too long, but there's also the pharisaical spirit that we have talked about oftentimes here, and I just want to, for the sake of this topic of the accuser of the brethren, the strong spirit of condemnation released in the culture, it's also released in the church. And if you've been a part of our church for any length of time, we have talked about this and tried to expose it and unveil it and bring it to the light and warn people of it, of the damaging effect this has. But there's a pharisaical and religious spirit in the church, an attack that comes from the accuser of the brethren, the ministry of condemnation happening within the church throughout America. And again, when we talk about the accuser of the brethren, we're not only speaking about the devil himself as a demon spirit that comes to us and whispers in our ear directly and condemns us and buffets us and accuses us But we're not only talking about that, but we're talking about a human instrument that aligns itself up with the accuser of the brethren and joins in with the ministry of condemnation. No, it's one thing that the devil comes and lies to us directly. It's a whole nother thing when it's a companion or it's a brother and sister. That's the worst. A spiritual family, part of a natural family. It's one thing, an evil spirit whispering in its ear. It's a whole nother thing when the evil spirit has shaped somebody and gotten into somebody's ear and is using somebody as a vessel or an instrument to minister that false accusation or spirit of condemnation through that individual towards another. And the worst of all is when it comes from a companion. Jesus said about Judas, my familiar companion who lifted up his heels against me. The worst of the worst attack coming from somebody who should be part of your family or a spiritual family or somebody that is associated with you. And so people who have the religious Pharisaical spirit, now we're talking about, let's do this in the confines of the church. If you look at the life of Paul, and we've done a lot of that throughout the past couple of years, you could see the greatest attack that comes against him came from the religious spirit, the spirit or the people who claimed to know God and were worshipers of God. The same was said of Jesus. His greatest attack when he walked the earth came from the people that claimed to know God and were worshipers of God. And so you see, Jesus and Paul, they were ministers of life. God raised them up to be ministers of righteousness, ministers that bring life, ministers that set people free. In fact, both Jesus and Paul, they were, we could say, new wineskins that God was using. They came to teach the new way of the living God. And the religious spirit hated it and despised it. In fact, they viciously despised anything that was different or anything that was new or anything that was not the norm or didn't fit into the religious box that they were part of. They viciously attacked it and despised it. And they were constantly judged, both Jesus and Paul, as using them as an example. They were constantly judged by the religious spirit, and they were condemned as heretics. And so the ministry of condemnation works through people who are being influenced or who have what we could say the religious spirit. And they condemn and they look at people who are different or who don't fit the traditional mold. They look at those people with disdain, condescending, pointing the finger at them, judging and overly criticizing them or overly criticizing something that is different outside of the traditional box. Maybe something, it's that they don't fully understand what it is and they will condemn it. It's the old wineskin. You see, the new wineskin, like Jesus and Paul, are always attacked by the old wineskin. That's the way it is. The old wineskin points the finger and condemns and accuses the new wineskin and accuses them as a disruptor of the status quo, a disruptor of how it's always been, a disruptor of what is the norm. You see, if you look even at the birth of the church in the book of Acts, the birth of the church in Acts, the whole book is seen as an exodus for God's people. It's the story, the whole book of Acts is a story of God leading his people out of the old and into the new, out of the bondage of Judaism into the kingdom, the new kingdom living that God has allotted for them, out of an old religious system into the new way of the living God, living for God in a fresh and life-giving new way. That's the story of the book of Acts. The whole book of Acts is basically a battle for freedom. It's a constant struggle with a religious spirit that condemns what God is promoting and condemning what God is doing and God is saying in this new era of the new covenant. And so it is still today. The battle still rages. It does. The vicious and religious spirit is still condemning and criticizing what God is doing in the now. You see, we condemn the light when we are in the darkness. We condemn what we don't fully understand. We write it off. We condemn it. Because if it was from God, it would feel good to me. I would understand it. It would be familiar to me. And so we condemn the unfamiliar. We condemn the fresh. We condemn what God is bringing that is new. When God does something new and different, it's almost always condemned. A new move, a new message, a new method, a new messenger, a new way of doing things. Anything that is out of the norm or out of the ordinary, doesn't fit the box, we condemn. I want you to stand to your feet because we're going to go to God right now without belaboring the point. If we could just have a little music in the background. The worst thing in the world that we could ever do is align ourselves up with the accuser of the brethren who has been cast out from the presence of God, who was hurling accusations and condemnation about God's people. The most vicious and wicked spirit currently, right now in the earth, is the spirit of condemnation, the ministry of condemnation. If we align ourselves up with the accuser of the brethren, if we yield in any way to the ministry of condemnation, we're an accomplice to the work of Satan. Holy Spirit, just speak to us right now. Let the divine light shine. Has the enemy used me to condemn and criticize what I don't fully understand and know? Has the enemy used me as a vessel, an instrument for his ministry? To condemn and judge what I don't fully know or understand? See, we've got to understand something about the religious spirit. The religious spirit releases the spirit of witchcraft. That's what makes it so dangerous when we join the ministry of the accuser of the brethren, when we join the ministry of condemnation. It's the religious spirit's way of releasing spirits of witchcraft. When we're judging someone with unjust criticism, we become the instrument that releases the witchcraft. This is how serious it is. And you know, I was thinking about this. It's so serious that even unspoken judgments and criticism will release condemnation and oppression. Even if no words are put to it and it's not even put out and spoken into the atmosphere, the judgments are in the spirit. The condemnation, the unjust criticism, the evil eye, it's in the spirit, and it can be felt by the one that is being condemned or judged, or the judgment is being directed towards. Father, forgive me for unjust criticism, judgment, and condemnation that comes from the religious spirit. Father, forgive me for the spirit of superiority, the Pharisaical spirit, for judging what is unfamiliar to me. I renounce the ministry of condemnation. Forgive me for allowing the accuser of the brethren to use me, to use my words, to falsely accuse, to criticize and judge unrighteously. That which is unfamiliar to me, that which is new, that which is different. Forgive me for having an eye of judgment. Forgive me for heaping condemnation. Forgive me for being a resistor to what you're trying to do. Forgive me, God. I renounce and break ties with the spirit of accusation, the ministry of condemnation. Forgive me. I break my ties and sever them by the blood of Jesus. Give me eyes to see the way that you see, God. Give me eyes to be slow to judge what I don't understand, what looks unfamiliar to me, what doesn't fit my tradition, my box of religion, the way that things always were. Forgive me, God, for unrighteous judgment and criticism. I'm cut to heart, God. I ask you to forgive me and keep me alert and keep me aware how the ministry of the accuser of the brethren would try to speak into my ear and use me. Use me as an unrighteous, evil instrument to bring harm to something that you are in, God. Lord, we love you and we honor you today, and we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your spirit. We need to come to your light and your truth. Help us to be bold and courageous to stand up to the ministry of condemnation that is not only in the culture but in the church, to speak the truth. Give us courage and confidence, Lord, that we could resist the ministry of wickedness and evil, both in the culture and in the church, to stand up for righteousness and justice. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. I hope you got something out of that. I think that that was very needful to where we left off last week. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. It's still a beautiful day outside. Enjoy it. The cafe is open. If you're a mom and you came in late, make sure you get your Mother's Day gift at the Welcome Center or at the exit door. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.